Now, it's a very great pleasure to welcome to the studio from the British Antarctic Survey the guy who was one of the team who discovered the hole in the ozone layer in the mid-80s, and that's Jonathan Shanklin. Hello, Jonathan.
Good evening.
Thank you for coming to talk to us. So, actually, you know, first of all, what is the ozone layer? Where is it?
OK, the ozone layer is high up in the atmosphere from about 10 to maybe 30 kilometres. And if you brought all the ozone in that layer down to the surface, we'd have just 3 millimetres of pure ozone gas. But that 3 millimetres is actually spread through maybe 20 kilometres of atmosphere. So even the ozone layer, there's not much ozone.
So it's very thin, isn't it?
It is very thin. And the worry that we have for the Antarctic is that during the Antarctic spring, we have a hole in the ozone layer.
How did you actually discover that that hole was there? What were you doing at the time that led you to make that finding?
We were actually making routine measurements of ozone. They started in the International Geophysical Year 1957-58. And we'd been making them ever since. And really, the discovery was looking not to show that there was anything wrong with the ozone layer. We were trying to show that it was okay and that spray cans weren't destroying it, Concorde wasn't destroying it. And we spotted that during the Antarctic spring, ozone levels were dropping. And we followed that up, found that it was a systematic change, so that it was different each year, getting lower and lower. And then that was published in Nature. And the Americans went back to their satellite data and said, oh, whoops, yes, you're right, we missed it.
Why spring? Because you've mentioned that twice. You said every spring this is happening. What's the significance of the season?
The significance of spring is really why it's over Antarctica, and it's to do with the temperature high in the atmosphere. Once you get up to maybe 14 to 20 kilometres, temperatures get below minus 80 Celsius, and at that sort of temperature, you get clouds actually forming in the ozone layer. Now, chemical reactions can go on the surface of those clouds that convert the chlorine and, indeed, bromine from halons into an active form, which is basically chlorine monoxide or bromine monoxide. And then when the sun comes back in the Antarctic spring, you get very efficient catalytic cycles that convert ozone back into oxygen. So oxygen has 2 atoms of oxygen, ozone has 3 atoms, and we get about 1% a day being converted back to oxygen.
So what's the significance of the spray cans and things like that? How does that actually contribute?
Right,
also, why is it just Antarctica? Why not the North Pole?
The spray cans used to be powered by chlorofluorocarbon as a propellant, and it was also found in upholstery foams, in plastic cartons, and a whole host of exciting uses. And they were mostly released in the Northern Hemisphere. But the process of diffusion means that these get well mixed throughout the atmosphere. Roughly speaking, the concentration of CFCs at the South Pole and the North Pole are exactly the same. But what is different is the temperature. Over the Antarctic, it's every winter cold enough to form these stratospheric clouds high in the atmosphere. But for the Arctic, it's only exceptionally cold winters just due to the circulation in the atmosphere. By and large, the northern hemisphere circulation is more complex. The atmosphere is better mixed. It's about 10 degrees warmer, so these clouds are quite rare. But they have been seen over Cambridge.
So why doesn't the ozone from elsewhere in the atmosphere just sort of flow into Antarctica and replace the deficit, the hole?
Essentially, it can't. During the Antarctic winter, you get a very strong circumpolar circulation called the polar vortex, and that effectively acts as a barrier. It stops the air mixing from outside the Antarctic into the Antarctic. And so what happens is during the spring, you get a build-up of ozone-rich air around the Antarctic. In the middle, you get very low levels of ozone, and that's the ozone hole.
I'd just like to backtrack a bit and ask, you know, why is the ozone layer so important? You know, does it really matter if it's vanished? Can't we just, you know, take the ozone from down at street level and shove it back up there?
It does matter if it disappears. And what happens is that more ultraviolet light from the sun can get through to the surface when there's less ozone. And this UV light can trigger skin cancers, cataracts, genetic damage in microorganisms. So it's not very good for us to have too much UV. And, for example, when we have the ozone hole in the Antarctic, you can get burnt in 5 minutes if you don't put on factor 30 sunblock.
Wow. And how is it actually linked into global warming, which is something we're becoming increasingly aware of?
It's quite a complex thing. The ozone hole is actually completely separate in many ways from global warming. But global warming actually makes the ozone hole worse. And that's because the greenhouse gases act a bit like a blanket. The surface of the Earth is heating up, but in the ozone layer, it's getting colder. And the fact that it's getting colder means that more of those clouds can form, more ozone destruction, gets colder still, and it's a positive feedback cycle.
That doesn't sound good.
Have the mechanisms we've put in place to try to limit the use of the agents, the CFCs we think are responsible, actually worked? Is the hole shrinking?
There's a big international treaty called the Montreal Protocol, and all bar one of the world's countries actually signed up to the basic thing. So that's really good news, very effective. And the amounts of these ozone-damaging chemicals in the atmosphere are actually going down. So we're definitely getting there with this one. But it is a symptom and not a thing in itself. And unless we tackle the basic level of what's causing many of these environmental problems, things can only get worse.
And just to finish off, Jonathan, just to sort of crystallise this in people's minds, how big is that hole over Antarctica?
The Antarctic is 50 times the size of the UK. The ozone hole is bigger than that. Not by much, but it gives you a bit of an idea of the scale of the thing.
So 50 times our own nation. It's quite a sobering thought, isn't it?
It is. And something that we created off our own bat.
In actually quite a short space of time.
As little as 10 years. And it shows you how fragile our atmosphere is and how much care we need to take in case something similar happens in the future.
Thank you, Jonathan. Some Naked Scientists talking there with Jonathan Shanklin, who is from the British Antarctic Survey, one of the scientists who discovered the hole in the ozone layer.